gonna play?
Okay.
Sitting right by the sink.
Everybody,
morning.
Couldn't ask for better weather, right? This is amazing. You kind of feel like the disciples sitting on the mount outside. This is maybe gives you a little bit of a feel what that was like. Let's just take a moment. I just want you to listen, look around, take in God's good creation. Breathe in deep this fresh air, tinged with campfire smoke. And listen to, we're going to be doing the third letter of Psalm 119. So listen to this and remember this is, I want you to play I Spy. Each verse talks about the love that the writer here has for God's word and what God's word does in his life. So notice that as I read this. Psalm 119, 17 through 24. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. I think of when they asked Jesus how to summarize all the law and the prophets. What did he say? Do you guys remember? Love God, love others, if you want to do it short. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these, all the law and prophets stand. So his word that this psalmist is talking about is basically love God, love others. And our theme for this year is use our freedom to love God and others well. So today, use your freedom, use your attitude, use your energy. Let's worship the Lord and love him well together. Let's love each other well together. So stand and sing with us and worship God.
All right, so family, since we don't have words up on the wall today, so sorry, I didn't. We tried to pick songs that everybody knows well. I don't know how you felt about that last one. Did we kind of know it, or did we kind of not? Kind of okay. Sorry, I didn't give you the heads up when we started. We could just do it again if you want. I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes when I'm trying to pull up the lyrics on my phone, it takes a minute, right? So you get it up and the half song's half gone, right? So, what do you say? You want to do it again?
That's right.
Well, let's do it again. Open up the heavens if you want to look it up. Open up the heavens. And then we'll move on. We've got more. I just thought we kind of lost that one because we're the only ones with words. We've waited for this day.
Yeah.
We've waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire.
Your glory like a fire. Awakening desire.
Lord, we lift your name up. We worship you. See your face. Lord, you are good, and we thank you that you are holy. We praise you, Lord. We lift you up. Lord, be lifted up on the worship, on the praise of your people. Lord, you alone are good. Thank you for meeting us here in this place you have made, with these hearts you have made, Lord. Help us to honor you and worship you today while we are here and every day and all day, Lord. You are worthy. Oh, sorry. Next song is Grace Like Rain. Grace Like Rain, the Todd Agnew song, if you're looking it up.
It's Amazing Grace.
Yeah. and then the chorus is Hallelujah, Grace Like Rain falls down on me. You will probably know the words. I want.
All right. Well, I don't know about you, but this kind of brings back some good memories and also kind of a little bit of some challenging times when we were out there because of circumstances, but it's good to see you all and just to be immersed. This is the best-looking church interior, I think, in the whole state of Ohio, if not beyond that. So this is pretty awesome. So, in coming to communion, I was just wanted to bring a simple concept that I think gets overlooked. How many people here have ever been forgotten? We've all experienced being forgotten. And a lot of times we just internalize that. But as we internalize that, it doesn't lessen sometimes the hurt or the disappointment that occurs. So, when I met this lovely lady over here and she finally came to a point where she could tolerate me, my wife Karen.
Hopefully, sir.
A whole bunch of ladies, I should probably be a little more. But when I met her and we finally kind of established a more serious aspect to our relationship, it was toward the end of our spring semester at Bowling Green, and the summer was ahead, and the summer ending my sophomore year. And I was concerned that she went to Rocky River, the west side of Cleveland, and I went back to Ottawa and Putnam County, that we might forget each other or forget some of the specialness that had occurred. So, just recently, we are in the process of trying to sort out and organize our bedroom. It usually can become maybe some of your bed, the catch-all for papers and treasures and photo albums and, you know, clothes you don't wear or fit into anymore, that kind of stuff. But I was going through and I found a number of the letters that she had written and I had written to one another. Written over that summer because I didn't want her to forget me. And there was part of me that I didn't want to get distracted and forget her. This is pre-cell phone. In my house, we had one big phone on the kitchen wall that if you wanted to talk to that special someone, you had an audience of seven other people in my house that would all offer critiques on how well you did afterward. But, so handwritten letters was kind of the way to go. And I read through some of them. They're pretty corny. But I realized, kind of the essence is don't forget me. This table, there's a sense that Jesus is writing that letter to us. He uses the word remember. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. And we have translation opportunities now that maybe weren't always available to us. But in the Hebrew, the word is, I believe, pronounced zakar. And that is, it does mean to recall or remember. But this would have been probably the word in Hebrew or a variation in Aramaic that he would have used at this time. And that word has a little extra oomph to it, if we look at what that really means. First of all, when he said, do this in remembrance of me, he's saying, remember and recall to mind. Remember and recall to mind. But it is more than a mental recollection. It means remembering in a way that affects your attitude and your actions. And this is reflected throughout all of the Old Testament. He's actually calling back to all the times God said, remember and don't forget who I am and who you are. And the nature of our relationship. It is the opposite of that isn't just about forgetting. It's about ignoring and neglecting. That's what that forgetting leads to. And so this is a gift that he gives us to help us remember. So I just want to point a couple things out that as you contemplate what we're doing here and you're coming forth, try to recall mentally. Like in Genesis 9, the Lord God said, I remember the covenant. He's calling it, recalling it in God's mind. Then bring that memory to mind publicly. Publicly. Make mention of his name, Isaiah says in chapter 12. It's important that we just don't keep everything inside, but we actually, you ever notice that sometimes if you say things, you speak your mind, you talk to a friend, sometimes the reality of what you're discussing actually becomes more tangible because you have actually put it to words and you've communicated to another person. So calling it to mind publicly. To act upon what is remembered. That this remembrance that we do here doesn't stop here. This isn't just checking a box. But this is meant to impact our attitudes and our actions going forth. To commemorate, to mark something so that it is not forgotten. Think of what the occasion was that this table was being instituted. It was the remembrance of the Passover, a commemoration to move forward to another covenant, a new covenant that will be building upon that, using the old to show us the beauty and the scope of the new covenant. So remember, in Exodus and the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So keep doing this in remembrance of me. So those are things that we all know what it is to be forgotten. How cool is it when we are remembered by somebody? When you come upon somebody in the supermarket or at a class reunion or when all of the kids go back to school and people kind of, hey, it's so good to see you, and they actually remember your name. And if you're like me, I'm great with faces, names, hey buddy, that kind of stuff. I don't know if there's a psychological situation here going on, but if I think about it, I'll forget it. But if I just pop off the name that immediately comes up, I'm actually a little more accurate with my name recall. But when you get back to seeing somebody and they really remember you, don't let it just be, oh, that was great, they remembered me. Hey, let's continue that letter writing, that communication through prayer, that speaking publicly, that commemoration, that understanding what Jesus did, what he was pointing to from this table, and that we remember it. It affects our attitude, and it affects our actions. So from Luke 22, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The table is open for believers in this Jesus and those that have publicly acknowledged who he is. You're welcome to come forward. A little different organization here, I guess. You know, if we just want to start from the front, working from middle and out, just return. We're not going to make it too complex. But the table of the Lord is open. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Bob.
I get to share a testimony. I'm going to share a little bit of history with you and tell you what God's been showing me this morning. In April of 1982, this was Woods. And we had our Wednesday work day. And at the end of the Wednesday work day, Ray Nethery and Tim Barber and Steve McKee, Steve Phillips, I think, was part of that crew. There were half a dozen of us. We walked down here, and I was told, this is going to be a campground. And I looked at the woods, and I thought, you're crazy. No way. How is this a campground? And over the next 2 months, I think Steve McKee had something to do with it, with his knowledge of woods. There were trees that got wrapped in orange tape that were not to be touched. And my friend Emmanuel Romley, who was from Indonesia and spending that summer with us, he and I were sent down most every day to remove brush, small trees, large trees, a couple families of wood ducks, unfortunately. And slowly but surely, this started to take shape. And I remember getting halfway. We started at that end. We started working this way. I remember getting halfway and thinking, I still don't see it. I still don't see it. But God had put people here who did see it. And on Wednesdays, when the big crew would come in and we would do kind of a larger chunk at a time, I remember Tim Barber especially saying, you know, and we need to kind of level the ground here. And there were people that had a vision for what this is. Our God, one of the names that he has called himself, he is the author and perfecter of our faith.
Amen.
The author and perfecter of our faith. He's writing our story. He's bringing things about in a perfect way for us. And quite honestly, there are days I don't see it, Lord. You? There are sometimes, because Emmanuel and I have to share this story too with Emmanuel. Emmanuel and I lived in an apartment in the lodge. We each had a small bedroom and a living area. And he told me, he said, I get my whole room to myself. And I said, yes. And he said, in Indonesia, 15 people, 3 families live in this space. You know, so, and then he said, and what is this camping thing? And I said, well, for vacation, we like to pitch a tent. And he said, you have these big, beautiful houses, and for vacation, you sleep in a tent. Didn't get it. God is writing our story. There are times when we don't see it. God has gifted us in different ways. I was really good at the grunt work. Emmanuel was good at the grunt work. We had no vision for a campground, but there were people who did. God has us about doing things sometimes that is so much part of a bigger picture, and we only see what's right in front of us. And I want to encourage you, be faithful in what's right in front of you. Even if it's the same thing over and over every day, be faithful for what's in front of you. I'm headed off this afternoon to my granddaughter Rossi's 3rd birthday. And my daughter Amy called my wife yesterday. And she has a now 3-year-old girl and a 6-month-old girl. And life is monotonous with young kids. Yep. Anybody remember those days or experiencing those days? I don't know. My wife was just encouraging her, you know, enjoy this time as much as possible, but do what's right in front of you. I'm just going to pray, because I have a sense that there are some of you who don't understand why what's in front of you is in front of you, but I want to encourage you. God has plan, God has purpose for this beauty. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. Thank you that you have visions for things that we don't have visions for or understand. Thank you that you have plan and purpose for our lives that is wonderful, more wonderful than we can imagine. Help us to be faithful, Lord, in the things you've called us to now, the things right in front of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God is good, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
God is so good. Yeah, we're going to one more song. And you probably know most of the words to this one, too. Can't Steal My Joy. We've been singing them a lot. I'm singing at both of the youth camps. And,
a couple
times on Sundays. So, if you're looking it up, if you're Googling it, it's Can't Steal My Joy by Brandon Lake and Josiah Queen. And the verses, in the valley of the shadow, I got a feeling it's a season that'll make me grow. That's with that last testimony. I'm still breathing. I got praise in my lungs and a choir in my soul.
In the valley of the shadow, I've got a feeling it's a season that'll make me grow. I'm still breathing. I've got praise in my lungs. Steal my joy.
All right. I like to ask those that are going to take the offering, and we have these rectangle baskets you can put your communion cups in. If you could come forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful weather today. Thank you for the ways you've blessed us and given us opportunities, the ability to provide for our families. And we give back this portion to you with joyful hearts. Lord, use it for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have a few anniversaries. Jerry and Linda Mathias have an anniversary this week on the 16th. So happy anniversary to them. And Rick and Joanne Widener, if you know the Wideners, theirs is also on the 16th, so happy anniversary, Rick and Joanne. We have a birthday today, Mr. Ryan Coleman, who's walking around with a basket there. I believe he's going to be the big 12. He said he was going on to be 21, but I think he's 12 going on 21. But, so be sure to say happy birthday to him. I think he had a nice party last night, so I hope you got some good loot, Ryan. So this Thursday, if you're a woman that's leading an aspect of ministry here at the church, we're going to be meeting at Panera at 4 p.m. on Lex Avenue. So just an opportunity to chat with you and encourage you. So feel free if you have any questions to touch base with the office or myself. We have community celebration every year, right? We have this. What is a community celebration, Greg?
Remembering,
yeah. We take a moment to remember, why are we here? What are we doing as a community? We reaffirm our members' commitments. And we just look over the past year and have some pictures and stuff. So I know Kay has said she hasn't got too many pictures. So if this prompts you this week, if you want to send any pictures you have from this past year, if you took any today, that might be fun to send those. We're going to have a slideshow and just a good time of remembering. If you want to register for this, it's going to be Saturday, August 23rd, that's coming up quickly, and it's going to be 5:30 to 8 p.m. We're going to have a dinner, so it's $15 per person, and Kay Vega, see how she's holding up this folder? She is our registrar, so she would love to have you sign up, and if you can give her your funds today, she would even love that more. So, also, Wednesday Connect groups are going to be resuming September 3rd, Wednesday, September 3rd. And we're going to be doing an adult study. I put in your bulletin, if you get the email, it's called Character and Virtue in Practice, a workbook for discipleship and formation. It's going to be going along in conjunction with the sermon series. So it's a good way for you to take what we're saying and applying it to your life intentionally. So that book will run $30. If you can find it cheaper, feel free to go and get it, but let us know you're coming. We can get books for you, and if you give us the 30, we'll get you a book. So next week, there will be a sign-up sheet in the sanctuary, so please be sure to sign up for that. I went through it. It's a wonderful book and really talks about the perfecting of our faith, not just the author, but how do we work with God in building character in our life and doing it with one another in community. Also, Keys to Freedom. Who knows what Keys to Freedom is? A number of you. Keys to Freedom is a great study just talking about what keys do we have in our lives because of what Jesus has done for us that lead us to freedom out of bondage. And there's a women's group that's going to be starting September 9th, 6:30 to 8:30 at Karen Gotzel. So Karen, raise your hand. Is that full or does it have any more room? Okay, sorry.
No, things.
Put you on the spot.
Things have changed.
Okay. Yes, Keys to Freedom is starting because of the wonderful response, ladies. Good for you. We are now dividing into two groups. So I will be leading a group, and Kathy Russell, Kathy, raise your hand or feel free to come on up. Anyway, she will be leading a group as well. So I know we have a lot of women who have signed up for it, so we have been discussing how we're going to divide up. So I think what we will probably be doing, we're going to put another sign-up sheet up with two sign-up sheets this time. So with my group or with Kathy's group, so you can kind of decide where you would like to land. We just want to kind of keep the groups a little bit more intimate. It's kind of an intimate study. So that just will allow for more sharing and I don't want to say safety, but, you know, sometimes if you have a huge group, you're just not able to share like you might want to, or you might be kind of intimidated by the size of the group. So there will be more information coming regarding this. But, yes, my group is going to be starting. We're going to meet on Tuesday the 9th, but then the day that my group will be meeting will be on Monday night. So, oh, here she comes. Here we go. Yeah, this all came together yesterday, so it's right. So, that's why we were not prepared. But
go ahead, Kat. Okay. Well, our group, Mary Ray Frankenfield, is going to be co-leading with me, and we're going to actually meet at her house, which is up where Hickenbotham used to live in the Devon apartment in the downstairs. And we'll also be meeting on Monday night starting September 8th, and we'll go from 7 to 8:30.
All right, so we'll have those sheets up next week for you.
Thank you, ladies. Right.
Thank well, you. Thank you, Janine. We're happy, we're happy to facilitate. We're excited about it.
And you may say, well, what about a guys group? Well, there is guys group information forthcoming. If you are interested, Greg, I've sort of tasked you with that, but if you want to talk to Greg Frankenfield, he could steer you in the right direction. This is not just for women. It's for men and women, and it benefits all of us. So I encourage you, if you are a guy and you haven't had a chance to go through this, if you're a young adult and you haven't had a chance to go through this, this would be a great thing to consider going through. All right, I'd like the kids, grades 5 and below, come up to the front here. We're going to dismiss you for Sunday school, and you're going to follow Marilyn up to the church. But first, we're going to pray for you.
Eric, it really didn't blow at all before service time.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. This is fun, watching the pastor run around chasing papers.
All right. Let's pray for our kids. Let's extend our hands towards them. Lord, bless our children. Bless these children. May they know you, not just about you. May you be their God, not just their parents, God. Bless this time of Sunday school. May they have open hearts to learn more about you and be attentive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so do y'all see Marilyn back there? She's waving her hand. I want you to follow Marilyn. She's over here by Steve, and they're going to help you get up to Sunday school. So parents, you will be picking them up from the Sunday school room in the church after your circle church.
Hey, everybody. Do you all know Andy?
Not me.
No. I really want to give a shout out to Andy. I want a big thanks to him for all his hard work this morning and his helpers. I think Cameron and both Ashley and Abby will help him get up. But this was a lot of work. It might not look like a lot, but it is. So thank you, Andy. Andy's also recording. So we have this recorded that we were thanked one time.
And so as not to forget anyone, I want to thank the other Andy and Marie and the worship team. Andy, thank you for being willing. And Steve Phillips, there's Steve at. Steve has been carting everybody around with his golf cart, and everyone else, I think of Oliver and Ian, helped move some of the benches over. So a lot of people helped to make this happen, and Teresa Hoppick and all those that helped make communion happen. So you all allowed this to happen, so thank you for being willing. We couldn't have done this without the help. All right. So we were talking about yesterday Oliver went to a wedding. There's lots of weddings, lots of anniversaries happening in August. And I am reminded of my wife and I's wedding. And I remember something the pastor did at our wedding rehearsal that was very wise. He was experienced. He had like 25 years of ministry experience. And what he did is he had all of the bridesmaids and groomsmen and the bride and groom line up at the front So we all knew our spots. And he said to us all, now, let's mark these spots with a little piece of tape. Remember your spots. And then we all went in reverse order out the sanctuary. And then we marched in. And do you think people marched in a little more confidently because they knew what spot they were heading to? Right? So if you are ever going to lead a wedding, be sure you do that, because it can be utter chaos if you do it the other way and just have people march in and try to then place them. They'll be milling around. Like, it'll be like herding cats. And I thought he was so wise in doing this. And in the same way in our life, if you and I know where we're going, we're going to march through life a lot more confidently. If we know where the end spot is, if it's clearly marked in our minds, we will know and we will walk confidently in there. So today we're going to be looking at 2 Peter 3:11 through 13. It shows you and I how to live in the light of the end times. It too shows us where we are going to end up if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and how that will affect us and how we march through this life towards the end. We can march confidently, not just milling around, but knowing where our destination is and march confidently towards that. So Peter seems to be saying to us, if you like to have like, okay, what was the summary of this message? The summary I believe Peter's saying to us is, let God's view of the end affect how you live. Let God's view of the end affect how you live today. Tracy Carter's going to come up and read for us 2 Peter 3:11 through 13.
Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
Thank you, Tracy. Bless you. Yeah, as we consider this idea of letting God's view of the end affect how we live today, there's three aspects that seem to jump out from this passage. First, let's let God's view of the end affect how you live now by being holy and godly. Secondly, let God's view of the end affect how you live now by hastening the coming of his kingdom. And finally, let God's view of the end affect how you live now by eagerly waiting for his coming kingdom. So let's look at that first point. Let God's view of the end affect how you live now by being holy and godly. I was reading in a commentary by Shaddix and Atkin in their book Exalting Jesus in 2 Peter and Jude, and they said this: we've all heard the logical argument, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, then it probably is a duck. What a person says or does is a fairly good indicator of who that person is. The reverse is true as well. If it doesn't act like a duck, if it doesn't walk like a duck, if it doesn't quack like a duck, then it's probably not a duck. What Peter's saying about false teachers and their disciples, if a person doesn't walk like a Christian and talk like a Christian, then he or she probably isn't a Christian. You know, when you and I have the correct view of the end, it will affect how we live. It will affect our behavior, not just our belief. Peter says in verse 11 that if we know things are going to end in the day of the Lord, what people ought we to be? He says it will result in us striving to be holy and godly. So let's unpack these two ideas. You know, what do you think of when I say holy? What does holy mean? I want to kind of list it from you guys. What do you think of when I say holy? Without sin,
set apart,
special,
pure,
Christ-like. Yeah, those of us that are Greek scholars, what does that word holy mean? And maybe the Hebrew and the Greek, what is it really, what's the gist of it?
Set apart.
Set apart. or they say different. You know, in our culture, someone says you're different. It's kind of like you're special. You know, you're different. But holy means that you are set apart for a different purpose. You know, we've been camping this weekend, and we had Germs. Germs is the fox's dog. And there was a special bowl around that was Germs's bowl. It was set apart for Germs. It was not set apart for us. If I had taken Germs' bowl, even if I washed it out and then I put some food in and gave it to Andy, do you think Andy would have been thrilled? No, he would not have been happy. So, you know, in the same way, we are set apart not to be a dog dish, but to be the special china for God. You and I are set apart. Our use, what maybe we were used for before, is no longer what we are used for. The Bible says that you are not your own. You were bought with a price. So if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer your own. You are set apart for a different purpose. And that means you will do different things. You will say no to different things. You will say yes to different things than you used to. One commentator said this: holiness entails separation from evil and dedication to God. You know, literally means to be set apart, consecrated, or dedicated. Another writer says, a holy life is a separated life, separated from the world and to God. So one way I think about this is, you know, when I asked Laura to marry me, I was set apart for Laura. All other ladies, those kind of went to the wayside. Laura was the one. And so I am set apart for her. And in the same way, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are set apart for Jesus. We're not running after all the other idols and things we thought would bring us happiness. So that's the idea of holy. The other one is godly. That's a tough one. What do you think of when godly? Well, it means to be like God. Are you going to define it with its own word? What does godly mean versus holy? How is godly different than holy? Any thoughts?
Put together.
Put together, okay. Yes. Yeah.
Virtue.
Virtue.
Merciful.
Merciful. Yeah, so we think about this. It's to be like God. What are God's attributes that we can have? Obviously, I'm not omniscient. I'm not omnipresent. I'm not omnipotent. Those omni words. But what aspects of God can I exhibit?
Merciful.
Yes.
Creativity.
Creativity. Mercy.
Grace.
Grace. The fruit of the Spirit. Not a coconut, but the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I see the folks doing the gesture. Yeah. So when you and I are godly, we are acting like God. In the way that we can. You know, the Bible says we are created in His image. We are not God, but we can have aspects of Him. The Bible says God is love. So you and I can be loving in the way God defines love, right? In 1 Corinthians 13 sort of way. We can give up our lives for others. We can die to self. So what I find interesting, godliness is also worship. No one said worship, but it's saying God is of ultimate worth. And worship is what we did this morning, but worship is so much more, worship team, isn't it? Right? It's saying God is worth my worship. He is worth it. He's worth being put in the number one spot in every area of my life. So if we're living for God and worshiping throughout the week, we're saying I'm working for God. I'm parenting for God. I'm watching babies for God, right? I'm mowing this lawn for God. I'm making this meal for God. I'm helping this person for God. I'm doing it because that's what He would have me to do, and He is worth it. I like to think that holiness, you could be holy but not love God. Think about that. You could be set apart but not loving. Sometimes we call that holier than thou. You could be set apart but have pride. Godliness tempers the holiness and makes it a loving holiness. So these two go together very well to summarize what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So I want to ask you to think about this for a moment. How am I doing at being holy? Do I really even know what holiness is? How am I doing at being godly? Am I moving towards this? I know all of us could say, well, I'm not arrived. That's okay. But what is my destination? Am I going towards holiness? Am I going towards godliness? Or am I tolerating things in my life that I know shouldn't be there? Am I still kind of on the throne of my life, not letting God be on the throne? So that's the first aspect. If you and I know that ultimately all this is going to burn, there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. It's all going to, it's the language of 2 Peter is pretty drastic. It's like it's going to melt away. Doesn't mean we aren't good stewards of it now, but we realize this is temporary. This is temporary. And what is going to win in the end is God's kingdom. I want to invest in that. Who here has invested in companies? Anybody invested in stocks or whatever? If you knew that the company you're investing in was going to go bankrupt next week, would you move your investments out of that company? Yeah. This world and system is going bankrupt. Invest in God and His kingdom if you want to have eternal dividends. Don't keep investing in what's going to go away because it will be wasted. So God's view of the end can affect how we live by challenging us to be holy and godly. Secondly, let God's view of the end affect how you live now by hastening the coming of His kingdom. This is an interesting passage if you look at it. If you're following along your Bible, look at verse 12. Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. How can we hasten? I thought God had predetermined this. What does it mean to hasten? To hasten God's kingdom. Well, there are three passages that do talk about that you and I have some sort of effect on that. We can be about something. Instead of just going up on a mountaintop and saying, I'm waiting for Jesus to return, He's got some stuff for us to be doing. So the three that have jumped out are prayer, preaching, and penitence. I was joking with Randall earlier as a preacher. I had to get my alliteration in. So the first one is prayer. Think of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The very prayer Jesus gave us to pray all the time is asking God to come back, His kingdom to be established. We look also in Revelation 5:8. It says the prayers of the saints are in golden bowls full of incense before the Lord. And then later in chapter 5, those same prayers rise like smoke before God, and they result in the censer of judgment being filled with fire from the altar and hurled at the earth. Sounds a little bit like what Peter's describing, like the elements melting. So our prayers affect that. Interesting to think about that. Secondly, our preaching, what you and I do and say. Matthew 24:14, if you want to look there, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, then what? And then the what will come? The end will come. So you and I can hasten the day by sharing the gospel to all nations. You know, it is going fast. There used to be a lot of unreached people groups. It is rapidly diminishing. Are you and I involved in missions? Are you and I involved in sharing the gospel to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world? That's what you and I can be about before the end comes. We are meant to be His ambassadors and His messengers. The final way we can hasten the day of the Lord is through penitence. What is that? That's a fancy word. I had to get the P in. What does penitence mean? Repentance. You know, I'm reminded of Indiana Jones, only the penitent man will pass, and he drops to his knees and the things go over his head, right? Acts 3:19-21, Peter is talking to this large audience, and he says this, repent, therefore, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets long ago. as I was reading this, there were many rabbis in that first century that said, if Israel just obeyed the law for one day, the Messiah would come. They were in a lot of agreement about that. So there's this idea that, and Peter even is saying this to the people in the crowd, you know, living a repentant life, in many ways, that's like bringing the kingdom. You know, you are a picture of the kingdom and leading others to repentance. So it means you and I don't just sit on our hands waiting for the end to come, but we have much to do in the meantime, and our efforts help to bring about this end. Our prayers make a difference. Our preaching and sharing our faith makes a difference. Our penitence and leading others to repent makes a difference. So we've looked at how we can let God's view of the end affect how we live by us being holy and godly and also hastening the kingdom through prayer, preaching, and penitence. Finally, number three, let God's view of the end affect how you live now by waiting eagerly for the coming of his kingdom. Verses 12 and 15. I'm thinking about what Bob shared this morning. Bob, thank you for sharing that. He was talking about how, you know, this used to be a forest, and they had to slowly be working and clearing it to make it a campground. There was a lot of waiting in that process. It didn't just happen overnight. And you and I are going to see things being dismantled, and before that new heaven and new earth come, there's going to be a process. We need to wait. So how do you wait? I don't know about you. I remember a country song once. It's called Waiting on a Woman. And I used to struggle with that. You know, I'm a very time-conscious person, got some German roots. And my wife is more Italian and flaring that way. And time is not as big a deal, right? It's the people that are the big deal. And so I remember times I'd be sitting out, and we kind of joke, I'll go out in the car and just wait for everybody. I'll be like, I'm going out, we're ready to go, I'll be in the car. So, but sometimes in the past, I would wait rather grumpily. Does anyone know how that feels? A little bit impatient. I've learned in recent years, and Laura maybe could attest to this, I've gotten better, right? I've gotten better at not being grumpy. She's sort of...
You play your app.
Yeah, I do the app. Five times, honk the horn. How are you and I waiting for God's kingdom? If you look at this passage, it says this expectantly. Wait expectantly. I think of how a kid waits for Christmas morning during December. Especially younger kids. Are they obsessed with it? A little bit. They can't wait. They maybe go down. If you put out the presents early, they're shaking them, trying to figure out what they are. Maybe they're those kids that get into the closet and find the presents. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, parents. I told them where you hide the presents. Are you and I waiting expectantly? You know, what are we waiting for? We're not just waiting for things to blow up and melt. What happens after that? The new heaven, the new earth. And it says in this passage in verse 13, where the righteousness of God dwells, makes its home, is forever there. And righteousness means right relationship, true shalom, peace, everything in its right place. That's what you and I are waiting for. And God has said that promise will come to pass. So are we living with that in mind, knowing that this is our destination, and I'm getting ready for that, not for next week, not for whatever the world says I should get ready for. I'm recognizing that that is the destination. When you and I have a view of God, God's view of the end, it'll affect how we live. We'll live patiently. We'll also live peacefully and wait peacefully. But we'll wait expectantly. So, Grace Fellowship, are you and I letting God's view of the end affect how we live now? Do you ever think about the end? Sometimes I've been guilty of that. You see here, we say, don't miss the forest for the trees. What does that phrase mean? Sometimes, you know, like if I was standing next to this tree over here, right next to it, that tree could block my view of everything else. That thing right in front of me. So you and I, sometimes we can get so focused on today, maybe next week, all the problems we got, that we miss the whole forest for that tree right in front of us. It's blocking our view. So we have to be very intentional to keep the big picture in mind. It'll affect how you live, even with those trees right in front of you right now on your journey. Are you pursuing holiness and godliness in your life? Is that one of your highest priorities? The beginning of 2 Peter, he said, make every effort to add to your faith godliness and holiness and all these other things. He didn't say, this is a nice option. You know, I go to the car wash sometimes and it's like, well, you could buy the special undercarriage wash or you could buy the ceramic coating. And no, this is not an option. This is the main deal. Are you and I pursuing holiness and godliness? Are we unpacking what that means for us? Are we hastening Jesus' return with our prayers, preaching, and penitence? Do you realize that, you know, I remember I grew up in the Christian Missionary Alliance, and one of their phrases was, bring back the king. Do I live with this idea of bringing back the king, ushering in his presence? You may disagree or not with that theology, but I do think, you know, think of times in the Bible where God changed his mind. Right, he was ready to destroy the Israelites in Mount Sinai. Moses said, no, destroy me, and God changed his mind. He was going to destroy Nineveh, and Jonah preached the gospel. They repented, and what happened? God changed his mind. We don't understand the will of God as well as we would like. That's a black box we can't look into. Whether we're directly affecting that or he's utilizing us in that, we can play a role, and he wants us to be involved. Lastly, are you waiting for the new heaven and the new earth expectantly, patiently, peacefully? Like that wedding party, you know where you're going, and you can march confidently towards it. Let's do that, Grace Fellowship. Let's use our freedom that God's given us in Christ to love God and others well with the end in mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's easy for us to miss out and forget on the end. We get so focused with our life right now, with the next practice, the next day of work week, the next thing coming up, the next vacation, whatever it is, it can eclipse our view of the end. May we be diligent and make every effort to keep in mind how this is going, where we're going, why we're going there. And to live, let it affect how we live now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do circle church. I would encourage you to find your circle church leader. I'm encouraging you can meet here. You can, I think, if your group wants to meet in its normal spot in the church, feel free. But so if you're a circle church leader, maybe after end, just kind of stand up and let people know where you are and communicate with them where you would like your circle church to meet. We will end that at 12:15, and then remember to go get your kids in Sunday school. But we're gonna stand up now as a benediction. I'd ask you just to raise your hands as an act of receiving, and then I encourage you to go to a circle church. Go forth this week, letting God's view of the end affect how you live your life. Let it motivate you towards holiness and godliness. Let it motivate you towards prayer, preaching the gospel, and living a penitent life. Let it change the way you wait for the new heaven and new earth by giving you an attitude of expectancy, patience, peace, and joy. Go in peace.